Komunitas Anda, pembicaraan Anda. Radio SBS, program Bahasa Indonesia.
Kita mengalih kepada topik yang lain. Kita akan simak bersama laporan yang disampaikan oleh Ibu Helen G tentang stroke yang banyak menyerang terutama kelompok Manula itu.
Menurut Yayasan Stroke Australia, 1 dari 6 warga Australia akan menderita stroke di beberapa titik dalam hidup mereka. Namun mendapatkan bantuan medis darurat sangatlah penting untuk kelangsungan hidup dan juga pemulihan. Pasien dari komunitas migran seringkali menghadapi tantangan dalam menemukan bantuan yang tepat. Tanggal 12 sampai 18 September adalah Minggu Stroke Nasional. Dan kita dianjurkan untuk berpikir cepat dan bertindak segera jika melihat tanda-tanda stroke. Berikut ini selengkapnya. Cheryl Chin adalah seorang ibu yang berusia 34 tahun dan memiliki 5 orang anak. Ia mengatakan bahwa ia tidak tahu banyak tentang stroke sampai dia terserang hampir setahun yang lalu.
I told my husband I was getting headache, just sitting down and taking Panadol, and then I needed fresh air. So I went outside and then I started getting dizzy and I remember falling to the ground. Everything was like a blur.
Pada awalnya, Cheryl tidak berpikir bahwa gejala yang dialaminya cukup serius untuk memanggil ambulans. Untungnya, suaminya bersikeras dan memanggil nomor 000 dengan segera. Cheryl tidak bisa berbicara dan kehilangan gerakan di sisi kanan tubuhnya. Dia hampir tidak berhasil untuk menghadiri pernikahannya sendiri pada bulan Mei tahun ini.
I wanted to walk down that aisle and I thought even if I was in a wheelchair or someone had to help me, I was going to do it because they wanted me to cancel my wedding. And yeah, I was just determined to just to be able to do it.
Semenjak itu, ia pun pulih dengan kembalinya sebagian besar mobilitas tubuhnya dan bahkan sekarang ia bisa mengemudi.
It was motivation, I think. I set myself goals and I wrote all my goals down. And it was just everyday life doing things that I used to do before.
Stroke adalah salah satu penyakit pembunuh terbesar di Australia dan penyebab utama dari kecacatan. Ahli saraf Dr. Bruce Campbell adalah ketua dewan yayasan klinik stroke.
Most strokes are caused by a blocked blood vessel, so not enough blood getting to parts of the brain. A few are caused by a burst blood vessel that is bleeding into the brain. And so when a blood vessel blocks or there's bleeding, that obviously injures that part of the brain. Whatever that area is normally responsible for would stop working.
Dr. Campbell mengatakan faktor risiko yang berbeda juga dapat menyebabkan stroke.
When you've got a blocked blood vessel, the reason that that clot has formed is usually cholesterol plaque in the arteries. And that relates to all the usual cardiovascular risk factors like hypertension, high blood pressure, smoking, high cholesterol, diabetes, and then the lifestyle issues of obesity and poor diet. And there's also an irregular heart rhythm, which is called atrial fibrillation. It's basically one of the chambers of the heart flapping in the breeze, and that allows blood to stagnate, form a clot, and then that clot can migrate up to the brain and cause a stroke.
Sebuah laporan oleh Yayasan Stroke di tahun 2004 menemukan bahwa setengah juta penderita stroke di Australia, 2/3 dari mereka telah menderita cacat.
Overall, death after stroke would be 10% or 15%, but unfortunately, a lot of people are left with significant disability, so they might not be able to walk properly, talk properly, or they'll have memory and thinking problems, so they might not be able to drive or manage their finances or do other cognitive tasks.
Sementara stroke lebih umum diderita orang tua, serangan stroke tidak mendiskriminasi atas dasar usia.
The average age is about 70. About a third of patients are in their working years under the age of 65. It can happen at any age. We have babies, children, teenagers who have strokes.
Kunci dari mengidentifikasi stroke adalah dengan bertindak cepat.
Face, arm, speech, time to call 000. So I think that's probably the key message for people out there to recognize stroke is the sudden onset of a facial asymmetry, sudden onset of weakness down one side of the body in the arm or the leg, sudden onset of speech difficulty where it's slurred or incomprehensible or the patient can't understand what you're saying to them, and time in that case to call 000.
Telah disarankan pada saat menunggu ambulans datang, pasien tidak dianjurkan untuk mengkonsumsi obat atau minuman apapun.
The main thing is really just to make that ambulance call and then just to keep the patient comfortable. We don't want people to give aspirin because unlike heart attacks, we don't know whether there's bleeding in the brain until we get them to hospital and do a CAT scan of the brain. And if you give aspirin and someone has had a bleed, that may not be helpful and maybe harmful. We don't want to give people a drink or something to eat because they may not be able to swallow properly.
Lisa Mangwiro bekerja untuk program Stroke Connect Follow Up oleh Yayasan Stroke. Tugasnya adalah untuk mengontak kembali penderita stroke setelah mereka keluar dari rumah sakit untuk memberikan dukungan dan saran untuk membantu mereka mengelola pemulihan mereka. Pemulihan dapat menjadi tantangan bagi pasien dari latar belakang migran, karena masalah bahasa dan budaya dapat membuat akses ke pelayanan kesehatan menjadi lebih rumit.
These include issues such as gender, generational and faith-based issues as well. Challenges that we hear from survivors include feeling that they haven't received enough information verbally about their stroke care. There's certainly feelings of being lost and unsure about how to navigate the healthcare system once home.
Masalah umum lainnya adalah kurangnya penerjemah dari komunitas tertentu.
And in those cases, families are sometimes used, although this is certainly not the preferred method. And this presents quite a few challenges for healthcare professionals who are providing the service.
Yong Pem adalah seorang ahli gizi yang menjalankan program untuk membantu orang mencegah timbulnya penyakit jantung, diabetes, dan stroke dengan program bernama Life di Victoria. Ia mengatakan, migran cenderung berakhir dengan faktor risiko yang sama dengan warga Australia lainnya setelah mengadopsi pola makan yang lebih ke barat-baratan.
Their diet changes, so they move from a traditional diet to a more westernized diet, which is usually higher in processed foods, higher in takeaway, higher in fat, and that's the reason why their risk of stroke are definitely increased.
Ia menganjurkan untuk mengikuti pola makan Mediterania, yang juga dapat mengurangi resiko seseorang terkena stroke dengan pola makan yang melibatkan lebih banyak ikan dan kurangnya konsumsi daging merah.
Things such as having extra virgin olive oil. There's lots of evidence now to suggest that having about 3 to 4 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil every day can significantly reduce your risk of stroke and also other heart diseases. Having legumes and lentils on a regular basis, having about a handful of nuts every day, also having more fiber in your diet can also significantly reduce your risk of getting stroke.
Perubahan gaya hidup sehat juga melibatkan olahraga teratur dengan intensitas sedang.
The recommendation is 150 minutes per week, which is roughly about 30 minutes, 5 days a week. So moderate intensity exercise is when you're doing some sort of exercise that increases your heart rate a little bit. You can talk, but you can't sing.
Untuk informasi dalam 8 bahasa tertentu, Anda dapat mengunjungi www.strokefoundation.com.au dan jika Anda membutuhkan layanan penerjemah, Anda dapat menghubungi nomor 131450 dengan menyebutkan bahasa yang Anda butuhkan. Mintalah bantuan kepada penerjemah untuk menghubungi Stroke Line di 1800-787-653 atau 1800-STROKE.
Itulah tadi laporan tentang stroke yang disampaikan oleh Ibu Helen G, yang diantaranya yaitu untuk mengetahui apa yang harus kita lakukan apabila seseorang itu terkena stroke.